Kale and Company weekday mornings 6 till 10.
Last time I checked, we were into the 40s. I think we had like 41 clips.
45, right?
45 clips.
Wow.
Yeah.
I keep the producers here very busy.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Harry Mays was contributing to the cut sheet over the weekend.
He was sending
all sorts of texts.
I believe I used every single one you sent me.
How about that?
Thank you.
I just want to let you know that I'm thinking about the show.
I appreciate that. It's nice to have people think about the show.
It is. It is. We like when people contribute and are dialed in. 855-839-1210. Let's get to the news.
All the show prep from everybody. I don't know what to do with it.
I know. It's unbelievable.
It's crazy. Everybody
never-ending flow.
It's amazing.
People are engaged.
Maybe.
You know?
Amazing.
They never turn their brains off.
Yeah.
But they're all front runners. They're all bandwagon. They want to be a part of the cut sheet.
That's right.
They need to be a part of the cut sheet. They know how big the cut sheet is.
Big.
They want to join the party.
But I've been contributing for quite a while.
You have. Yeah. Just in the shadows.
Right.
Because you don't want to come out of the closet.
I lurk in the shadows.
Yeah, you don't want to come out of the closet.
And you were raised in the shadows.
I understand. A closeted producer.
I understand why. I understand why Harry didn't want to come out of the closet. You have a brand to think about. I get that.
He's like Bane in the Batman. I was born in the shadows. I was raised in the shadows.
Is that the guy with the mask?
Yeah, horrible.
Yeah, he's a horrible in the ass.
Horrible. He's a horrible Batman.
Not a bad actor, though. I forget his name, but
the character in that Batman sucked.
Yeah, I agree.
It's bad.
Well, it's hard to follow up Heath Ledger as the Joker.
Yeah,
right? That
may have been one of the greatest movies of all time.
I agree.
Let alone the greatest Batman.
Yep, no doubt. All right, let's get to the news. Round number two at 7:06. Fresh up from Florida, the great Anna Hummel.
Yeah, the weather's a little different here than what I left behind.
Yeah, do you want to go the hell with the news for a moment? to me, the most because you're going to say, oh, somebody got shot, SEPTA busted.
It's such a bummer.
There's some good stuff here.
There is good stuff. But nothing beats the fact that you had the flight from hell.
I wouldn't say it was the flight from hell.
It was pretty rough.
You know, so I recently started going to a Buddhist meditation center probably the last like 8 or 9 months.
Oh,
and
boy.
It
wow.
was really, all the work I'd done was really tested yesterday, you know, to not absolutely freak out. The flight was delayed. No problem. An hour, whatever. Then we board. And Spirit is all about like being sassy and making jokes. So we're all just like loving it. Not really, but like courtesy laughing. And then the guy was like, yeah, and we're delayed another hour. So everyone laughed. Turns out, not a joke.
No.
So we were just kind of stuck on the plane. And then they just turned the AC off. So we're all just there roasting.
Not a joke.
Yeah. So I was definitely talking myself down. I'm like, this is fine. I accept this as my reality. We're going to get moving soon. And once we were up there, it was all good. I got my free ice and it was a good time.
Free ice.
I swear to God. They're like, you want a water bottle? I'm like, yeah. They're like, it's $4.50. I'm like, I'll take a cup of ice.
$4.50 for a water.
Yeah.
You should have just ordered a cocktail.
No, that was
$20 probably.
Yeah. So I was just like, oh, I'll take my cup of ice. And we were good to go.
You didn't take advantage of that $21 Bloody Mary at the airport?
Oh, no. God, no.
God, I love those. All right. There you go. Well, look, you know, I told you off the air, Spirit, Frontier, Elite. Agent, you get what you pay for.
Yeah.
Did they give you a seatbelt?
Yeah, I got a seatbelt. Okay. The plane was actually really nice and new.
Yeah.
But whenever you ask for something, they're very sassy about. They're like, listen, you chose Spirit for a reason.
Right.
This is what you get.
This is what you deserve. To get you from point A to point B.
Right,
and that's what we're doing.
Right.
At Spirit, we fly DEI.
Yeah, well, I did divulge to you. I've been flying a bit here and there over the last couple months. And every time I board a plane, I hate to admit it, but I do a hard peek into the cockpit just to see.
Can you,
who's
oh, yeah.
in
Can you say,
there.
That, say that one more time? You do a what? You do a hard
peek
into
the cockpit.
Right, got it.
Yeah. Just to see
sure
who's there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Because if I see some things that I'm uncomfortable with, I'm turning my butt around and deboarding the plane.
Hey. We've had a lot of plane stories in the
news. Listen, like, I'm not a fan of DEI, obviously, but, I mean, I'm tolerant of it in most occupations, but not when you're flying a plane.
At least you admit it. You know what I mean? People will not admit it. They'll be like, oh, yes, we need more this, that, and the other flying planes. Like, no, I want the most experienced person.
Right.
Like,
and
whatever.
It's not even so much the pilots. It's the air traffic controllers.
I can't see them. Don't make me more anxious, Harry. I can only see the pilots, and I'm very obvious about what I'm doing. Like, excuse me, miss, can you move the F out of my way so I can see who's there? And I want to see salt and pepper hair.
Okay.
I just want to see it. I want to see salt and pepper hair. So that's what I'm looking for. Right. Otherwise, I'm leaving. So
I'm almost fired up, folks.
Yeah.
You don't want to see, do you want to see a female your age flying the plane?
No comment.
You want to see a chick with purple hair, a nose ring, and one leg?
Yeah, no, no, no comment. Yeah. Listen, I'm driving over curbs. I don't want to see someone like me flying a plane. Look at this. Is that horrible to say?
No, you're no,
awful. But human. I'm just being honest.
I can't
so.
Be affiliated with
salt and pepper hair.
Get her out of here. Let's send her back to Florida. Put her on the first pontoon out. Let's
yeah,
go.
Yeah.
All right, let's get down to the business.
Let's
what do we got
it.
In the news?
All right, today is April 7th, 2025, and it's currently 41 degrees in Philadelphia. Today's weather, cold with on and off rain and drizzle, high of 47 degrees, and tonight becoming partly cloudy, breezy late with a low of 35 degrees. I hate to do this. It's kind of bummer news, but it is what it is. Young woman found stabbed to death inside of a futon in a Philly neighborhood. A homicide investigation is underway after a disturbing discovery that was made in Philadelphia's Wissanoming. Did I say that right?
You did it. You nailed it.
Neighborhood. A 21-year-old was found wrapped in a sheet and shower curtain inside a futon on the 4400 block of Frankfurt Avenue around 12:40 a.m. on Saturday. She had suffered multiple stab wounds, fatal stab wounds to her neck and torso. Police say the victim was reported missing after there had been no contact since April 2nd. No arrests have been made and no weapon has been recovered.
I've got a futon story for you guys if you want to hear it. When I first came up here for this job 3 years ago and I was over in the other apartment complex, Harry, you know it.
Yes.
I had to get, because I had a very small studio and I had
a... It was nice though.
It was, oh yeah, it was very, so it was the monthly payment.
Yeah.
So I had the normal bed and then I had a very small living room, so I couldn't do the couch. I bought a futon.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a few futons in different walks of life. They are the most uncomfortable pieces of garbage you can buy.
Yep.
We're going to talk about buying junk in America coming up. Futons suck.
Yep.
Yeah.
I felt like I was laying on metal bars.
Because you are.
Yeah.
I mean, there's prisoners in El Salvador were more comfortable than I was.
But when, there's that mattress, right? So it feels nice.
When did they become a thing?
I don't know. You're a sectional guy.
Yes.
Right. And I love a sectional.
You mean like one of those couches that turns into a bed?
Isn't that a futon?
Oh. No. Oh. Futons
kind of like close up like an accordion.
Yeah.
But you can kind of use it as like a pseudo couch.
Yes.
Right? I feel like it's not good at either of those things, being a bed and being a couch.
Right.
Yeah. It's
but
usually like a wood frame.
Them.
It's
yeah.
like, it's like
yeah.
a it's like a transgender piece of furniture.
Right.
It doesn't know if it wants to be a couch or
right.
a bed.
Doesn't yeah. know how it identifies.
So it identifies as both.
It's right. fluid.
It's fluid.
It's couch right. fluid.
Yeah. It's very diverse.
Mm. More great news. A police officer shot in Pottstown, Pennsylvania. Nice. Shelter-in-place order in effect.
Yeah, this is crazy.
Yeah, really sad. A shelter-in-place order is in effect after a police officer was shot in Pottstown, Pennsylvania on Sunday, a Montgomery County spokesperson said. Police responded to an accident involving one car at the corner of Beach and North Mount Vernon streets in Pottstown around 5 p.m. Roughly 1 hour after the crash, the spokesperson said the officers at the crash scene were engaged in a foot pursuit. The county official didn't provide details about what led up to the chase. At 6:13 p.m., the Montgomery County spokesperson said that an officer was shot. The officer was taken to the hospital and placed in stable condition.
Yeah, this is multiple Pottstown stories we've had with violence that I typically don't really hear about in Pottstown.
Pottstown's changing, guys.
Mm. Is it really?
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, yeah. Harry, I go, you know, there's a lot of good golf courses out there.
There are.
Right?
A lot of good public golf courses.
Yes.
A lot of people moving into Pottstown.
Is that right?
Yeah. Okay.
So the clientele's changing a little bit.
I think I'm reading between the lines about what you're saying.
The clientele's changing.
The clientele is changing.
I'm just saying that there's, you know, it is.
Oh, I know what you're saying.
It's not the old Pottstown.
I don't think that what he's intimating there fits this description of this guy.
No.
Because I saw the video.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying that the...
Are we seeing an influx from the city of Philadelphia, or are we seeing it from elsewhere?
By the way, Harry, there's no description. I'm just saying the clientele is changing. You know what I mean? Like, it's people coming in who, you know, may not have Pottstown's best interest at heart.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? Thank you.
Gotcha. And lastly, 7 people injured after SEPTA bus hits vehicle, pushes down Philly Street.
This video is amazing.
I can't believe this is real life.
7 people were injured after a Route 82 SEPTA bus hit a car and continued to push it down the street in Northeast Philly Friday afternoon.
We have the video. YouTube.com/@1210WPHT. YouTube.com/@1210WPHT. Please hit the like and subscribe buttons while you're there. Phil, roll this video. Look at there we go.
Wow.
Oh, my word.
Wow.
I mean, that's like Jalen Hurts in the tush push. And he's just got the defense on skates.
At what point, like, and I know there's air brakes and stuff and those things, but at what point do they stop?
Well, if I'm seeing this correctly, the light is green and the SEPTA bus is still going.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look at this.
I know.
Thankfully, no one was really seriously injured, it says, so that's good news.
I mean, if you, and by the way, that is the driver's side door.
How far are they going to go?
That's got to be at least 500 yards.
Was that Roosevelt Boulevard?
Yes.
That's what it looks like.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's an interesting sight.
Yeah.
Now, imagine being in the driver's seat of that vehicle. I mean, they're pinned right up against the bus's windshield.
By the way, Harry, it was Roosevelt and Sanger Street.
Okay, yeah.
My gosh.
Wow.
And that's Kale and Company News Live at 7 o'clock hour.
That is an amazing video.
That really is.
Wow.
I would love to know what the context is of, did that person go through an intersection not paying attention and get T-boned? Ooh. Is that vehicle, like, pinned up against it, like, physically stuck?
Well, it didn't stop. Like, it
I know. If you're the bus driver, don't you have to bang your brakes eventually?
It's like, listen, I got to get to my stop. They're going to dock me pay if I don't get to Sanger Street by 4:02.
I mean, I thought our Ohio bus driver was angry.
I'm going to start kicking some serious ass.
This bus driver is even more fired up.
I want to hear the black box in the vehicle about what the driver is screaming at the top of his or her its lungs.
You know, every now and then when I get off of the Vine and I come up around Market, I'll get behind a SEPTA, and you'll see they're advertising that they're hiring on the back on the back of the bus. Great pay, benefits, blah 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 blah. Apply here. You could not offer me a salary high enough.
Yeah.
To work for SEPTA.
That's a tough gig.
Is that like worst job ever for you?
Probably not worst job ever, but I don't think I could, whether it's the bus or the subway, I don't think I could deal with that kind of dreck of society constantly causing an issue or threatening me. We have bulletproof plexiglass for our SEPTA riders, our bus drivers, in their little box.
I think I could do the subway deal, though.
Really?
Yeah, because those guys are like sequestered. I don't think you can get to them.
Driving the train?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that'd be cool, just going up and back Broad Street.
You can't be had, is what you're saying?
Right.
I think worst job ever for me would be flight attendant.
Oh,
because you cannot run away from them. You can't throw them out, you know, like you could if you were bartending or something. You're just stuck with them.
Quarter mil a year. You driving a SEPTA bus?
Quarter mil?
$250 a year.
How many days a week do I have to work?
You got to work 40 hours, Harry.
40?
Yeah,
no, that's too much.
Yeah, I mean, come on, let's go, Harry. What are we doing here, all right?
Get up, Harry. Come on, let's go.
That's too much.
That's too much. All right. Part-time for $250 you're in?
I'm in.
That way you can still do Mondays here.
Exactly.
You could do SEPTA 3 days a week.
Right.
And then your golf pod.
I like that.
And then you're good.
Yeah.
All right, Kale and Company. Coming up next, speaking of junk, we have to get to this story. By the way, a lot of the big stuff from the weekend that we talked about in the big take, we'll round back to that coming up in the cut sheet at 7:45. Stocker's got all the clips from all the talking shows, all the talking heads on Sunday, and all sorts of great clips that occurred since we got off the air on Friday. But Stocker found this story from the Wall Street Journal, and this one hits home with me. And I think it actually resonates with everybody in this studio, because I think we all fall under the umbrella of being a minimalist. And we'll get to that when we come back. Kale and Company, Nick, Anna, Harry, and Greg on a Monday morning on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Uneasy here. We're not socially distanced at the moment. Nobody has a mask on. I just got to tell you, this is not normal. So if you guys can maybe give us all a little bit of space here. We can't be contracting COVID. I don't want to kill grandma. I know Fauci's back in the news spewing his rhetoric. God, let me just say that. That clip I gave in the big take.
Yeah.
Did that get your blood pressure going a little bit?
Yeah, my skin crawls.
With that guy, again, with the books, I'm done with everybody getting a book deal and a podcast. Mm. There's too many. We have to, you know what? For the first time ever, I think we need to start deplatforming. I'm anti-free speech. I don't want it anymore. I can't. Enough
you're done
enough
with that
Fauci.
Meatball.
I'm done with that guy.
You just choose not to listen to it.
I know. I had to play that. I saw that. And I was like, it's got to go in the big take. All right. So this is a story that Stalker found, and I thought this is great because I think this resonates with many people. A little bit off the beaten path, but I think most people can relate to this story. The headline from the Wall Street Journal is, Americans buy a crazy amount of cheap stuff, and it's costing us dearly. Just give you three bullet points here. They write, Americans are buying and accumulating more stuff than ever before, which is why 50% of Americans, I think, are in debt, like Scott Bessent said, leading to overflowing homes and storage units. Mm. Got a storage unit story for you in a second. Mm. The era of cheap stuff might be ending because of tariffs, but the legacy of a gigantic mound of stuff remains, costing Americans in terms of money, time, and relationships. The buildup of stuff is a particularly American phenomenon, with roughly 80% of the world's self-storage facilities located here in the continental United States of America. So we're in a small townhouse until we move into our home at the end of June, early July. So we had to rent a storage unit.
Oh.
And we are paying $230 a month for a nice storage unit. And I said to my wife last July when we got the storage unit, you know, we don't have to pay $230 extra a month. We could throw this away. And legitimately, if I were to go through the storage unit now, 80% of it, I guarantee you, take it to the bank, in 9 weeks when we clear that thing out, these things are going to get tossed anyway.
Right.
They're going to have no place for our in our new place, right?
So you've been just parking it there.
Yes.
Just rent for your crap.
Just renting to give somebody else money to store garbage, right? And my wife, I swear to God, like she's not a hoarder to the point where, like those ridiculous shows where you...
That's a mental disease.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a mental health issue.
Yeah.
But she's close. Like she's
flirting with that line.
Really?
She's like, oh, no, we could find some. I'm like, you didn't even know this existed until we pulled it out of the attic or the garage.
Right.
And you said it during the break that you're a minimalist as well.
I hate crap.
Yeah.
I clean open spaces. I don't even want anything that could double as a shelf because then when it's a shelf, you just put stuff on it.
Yeah.
I'm all about just clean, minimalistic living.
So you'd have the apartment like American Psycho.
Yeah.
Remember the Christian Bale's character?
Yeah.
Was it American Psycho?
I think so, yes.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Another movie I haven't seen,
you gotta
but I
watch
understand
that.
The reference.
Right, right.
I don't like gore, but yes.
Right, right. You don't like movies. You don't like sports. You don't like entertainment. You just like to drink.
I don't even do that anymore. I'm so boring.
I've got no use for you.
I know.
It's unbelievable.
I know.
But I'm a minimalist as well.
Yeah.
Stalker busts my chops all the time for wearing the hooded sweatshirts that the station gives me for free.
That's true.
He has
none of his own clothes.
I have no clothes. I have nothing.
Why would you buy clothes if you're getting them for free? This makes no sense.
I spend my money on housing, golf.
Yeah.
Tito's and soda.
Tito's and parlays.
Okay.
That's it. The minimalist.
Yeah.
That's the way I've always been. We're going to have a house that's going to be probably anywhere from 2,500 to 3,000 square feet. I don't want 50 million things with a wife, two kids, and a dog, where all of a sudden, you ever notice too, like when you go to look at a house, like, oh, this is big. And then you buy it, and then you furnish it, and you're like, where'd all the space go?
Right.
I don't want that.
You have two kids. How can you not have stuff? Kids just accumulate stuff. But especially young kids.
I think this is the difference now with the younger generation of kids today versus all of us on this show that are either true Gen Xers or identify as Gen X, like myself.
You're not allowed to do that.
Right. You give a kid an iPad, you give them the world. Right? You give them the iPad and the iPhone. They don't need anything else. My girls are past the stage of Barbies. And once they realized what an iPhone and an iPad was and what YouTube was, they were done collecting the Barbies and the little Barbie house and the little motor scooter and all that other nonsense. All they're concerned about is what's on this little smart device.
Well, right, but when they outgrow all that stuff, don't you get rid of it? Like, why would you keep that stuff?
Well, and this is not just kid stuff. I mean, we're talking about like just random dressers, holiday knickknacks.
Oh, tchotchke items.
Yeah. What were you? What would you call them earlier?
Tchotchkes. That's what my mom would call them.
Sounds very Jewish.
Yeah, it is.
That's the Jewish version of tchotchke.
Yeah, it is. But I promise you, when you get rid of all that stuff, it's so liberating.
Yeah.
Because that stuff ties you down, weighs you down, and when you just don't have to worry about it, you're not thinking about it. If you haven't used something in the last 3 months, you don't need it.
Well, it's like something in your closet. If you haven't worn a certain item of clothing in the last, 6 to 9 months, you're never going to wear it again.
Right.
Unless you're me and you have golf polos that you did buy, but you don't have to wear them because the radio station keeps giving me hooded sweatshirts and quarter zips.
By the way,
I mean, it's always those clothes, too, that you're like, if I just lose another 5 pounds.
Well, that's the other reason why I wear the hooded sweatshirt, because I've gained 13 pounds.
That's a good... I like that shirt, and I know when I lose 5 pounds, I'm going to fit back in that shirt.
I know I can get back into these jeans.
I know. But I think the problem, too, is that things just aren't made well anymore.
Right.
You know what I mean? Things are made to break. And whether it's a $2,000 iPhone or it's a new refrigerator or whatever, there's a shelf life on those. Whereas before, you could have... Like, I have this, beer fridge in my basement that is probably 40 years old.
Whoa.
The thing will not die.
It's like an igloo.
Keeps things ice cold. It's like an old Whirlpool, those white, ugly box fridges.
Yeah.
And it's not going to die.
Yeah.
Where I have these smart refrigerators that last 3 years, right. And then I need another one.
Yeah. Right. This Samsung refrigerator with a flat screen on it so you could check your email.
That's what I'm talking about. Things just aren't made well anymore.
But I know people that just buy stuff because it's cheap.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like on Temu. They keep telling me about this Temu. I've never been on the website. I don't even know what it is.
Yeah, I don't want
to. But all they do is buy cheap crap.
It's all cheap crap made from China.
I was going to say, it's like Chinese Amazon.
Yes. Is that what it is?
Basically? I think. I've never used it either.
Yeah.
Exactly what it is.
Because Amazon's too mainstream, so now we got to move on to the next thing, Temu. Right.
That's why we need to stop doing business with China, because all they give us is crap.
Yes. Right.
I would just like to go one day not seeing a package on my porch. Mm. Just one stinking day. Can I see that concrete slab? Can I just get a little dirt? Can I have a mat on my porch
instead of another
box?
That exploded during COVID was all the delivery stuff.
Yes.
I will admit, I do like the delivery. It's so easy. It is
convenient.
I do it for certain things, though. Like, I don't do everything delivered to my door.
Do you go to the grocery store?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Like, I get my razor blades because I have to shave my head every other day or else I'll look like a buffoon. So I go through razor blades. I'll order them from Amazon. I order, because I go through pens and legal pads for the show.
Right.
I don't go to Staples anymore because it's too expensive.
So you don't just take them from here? Aren't they available?
No, the pens here are awful.
Oh,
it's
really?
Always like those old school Bic pens that you have to squeeze down and break your wrist and get carpal tunnel to get the ink to come out.
Gotcha.
No, I need something that comes out effortlessly.
Smooth and velvety.
Yeah, I like it smooth and velvety.
You need the pen that Trump uses to sign the executive orders.
The Sharpies.
Yeah.
Yes. Which, by the way, if you get around those Sharpies too much, you get that contact high.
Yeah.
Not a good thing. But, I mean, there are some things that I do with Amazon that I get delivered, but I still want to get out of my house. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the whole, I think it's the remote work mindset of, well, if I can work from home, I never have to leave home for anything else, right? And I don't think that's good for people's mental health.
No, it is not.
You cannot be, or your physical health, right?
Yeah.
You can't be sitting in a computer chair for 8 hours a day and then go from being on the computer chair to the couch for the rest of your day.
I spend way too much time at home.
Right, you do.
Yeah.
Which is why you got to come in once a week.
Exactly.
I'll start picking you up every Monday just so you can get some fresh air.
I was looking forward to this.
Okay.
Like, to coming into the station with you.
Yeah. By the way, I gave Harry the option. I was like, you know what, dude, you don't really need to come in. Yeah. And you're like, no, Kale's picking me up. I want to come. I'm like, all right, cool. Yeah.
No, I think it's good. It's certainly good for mental health. And even things like running errands are good for mental health because it gets you out of the house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And especially out of your head if you're ruminating over something, to go just be productive, accomplish anything.
Just enough so that you can get pissed off by somebody in society.
Takes 20 seconds.
It takes 20 seconds. And then you're like, you know what? I'm never leaving my house again.
Screw this.
Why did I do this?
I'm out.
It's always the lady in the Subaru. Uh-huh. Always slowing you down. A pain in the ass. Here's the other thing, too, with this story, with the amount of cheap stuff and what it's costing us. It's killing us in the economy. But the other thing, too, is when you talk about being a minimalist. So the first time around when we bought our house in 2009, my mother-in-law helped decorate. And she was and she brought her sister. And her sister's really good with like the visuals. And you know, like I don't know anything about decorating a home. So like we got our couch and you're like, well, you got to have an end table here and then there's got to be an end table on this side. And you got to balance it out with a lamp and this and that and wall space and you got to put it like I don't want the excessive amount of odds and ends. Like give me the couch, give me a chair, put my flat screen up on the wall.
Right.
Let me get some natural lighting. I don't need 50,000 pictures of my kids like it's some museum.
You know what they look like.
I know what they look like. I just sent them upstairs.
Yes.
So that you wouldn't have to look at them.
Correct. That's the thing that drives me nuts with these people. And so this time around, in the end of the summer, I'm going to have my sister do it, who's very much a minimalist.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I think probably about the same age as you, same kind of mindset as far as just
less is more.
Yes. I am a really less is more guy.
Yeah.
Like, that's why I like doing a radio show with multiple people.
Yeah.
And I don't want to bloviate for 28 minutes.
And like Harry was saying during the break, I think he's just like, that's just more like stuff to clean and dust. And who wants more work?
It's the upkeep.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're lazy.
Right. Yeah.
Right. And I don't have the stroke to tell my wife to do it because she'll stick her fist right between my eyes.
As a guy, all right, let me throw the turn the punch bowl because
you haven't thrown one in 90 minutes. Let's go. What are you doing over there?
Everybody always says the show is best when we're arguing. I'm a collector. I collect vintage stuff. And I collect good, like, you know, stuff. But I'm also a purger. So, like, I will collect a bunch of stuff, but that also means that that weekend that I get that, I have to get rid of 20 things.
Okay.
So, I'll go in the basement, I'll say, yep, I haven't used this in 5 years, throwing this out. I get through all my son's toys every couple of weeks and be like, what don't you play with anymore? Because we're going to get rid of them. But I do, I like vintage stuff. I collect stuff. So,
like what?
If I recall, too, though.
I collect toys. I'm like
toys.
Vintage toys? I'm like the 40-year-old virgin.
Like action figures?
Yeah. They're not dolls, excuse me.
Sorry, not dolls. They're action figures. Yeah.
Well, they're actually really, they're worth a lot of money, aren't they, Stocker?
Well, yeah.
You could off these, you know, on the market and make a lot of money.
It's true.
Yeah.
But do you sell them?
No, I'm going to sell them for when my son decides he wants to go to college.
Oh, I see. Okay. For the college fund.
The college fund.
He's not going to sell them. He's too attached to them.
If daddy wants to get rid of them by that point, I'm not sure if he will.
Yeah. He's not like a progressive with a stock where he needs to get rid of it because all of a sudden it went down 10 cents, right? Like, you hang on to these things. I think they're, I forget, my buddy Barry, Harry, you'll know this.
Oh, yeah.
He collects these they're almost like bobbleheads.
Like figurines.
And
that does not surprise me, by the way.
And they are worth a ton.
Really? To who?
I mean, he buys them
That's what I always love. Oh, these are worth a lot.
Like,
to who?
Well, he buys them for like 50 or 60 bucks, and you resell them for $200-$300 online. It's like a whole industry dedicated to this.
Thank you.
Really?
Thank I think you. Stocker knows what I'm talking
I'm,
about here.
I'm the guy who's buying them, not selling them.
Oh, so it's you.
Yeah, it's me. And, you know, I'm there saying, hey, I have this. I'm like, it's X amount of dollars. I'm like, I'll give you Y. Like, it's X. I'm like, I'll give you Y. And then finally they break down and they sell it to me.
I come from the era when, you know, kids used to collect stamps, baseball cards, all that kind of nonsense.
I had baseball cards.
And I never did that.
I had a couple of
packs of cards, and then I'd never get anybody good.
Yeah.
Like, it was always like this scrub outfielder that played like one game a week. And I'm like, this stinks.
Well, you couldn't buy the packs from like the grocery stores or the little corner store.
Yeah.
You'd have to go to like the collectible card things at the mall on a Saturday.
See, that didn't exist until the 80s for me. Like, I'm talking 70s, where you bought it with the bad bubble gum in it, with the dust on it. Yeah, it was awful.
And then you get like Danny Tartable. And
exactly.
What am I supposed to do with a Danny Tartable?
Yeah, who cares?
when I was a kid, it was the Beanie Baby craze. I don't know if that's still a thing, but it was the whole, like, you got to collect them because they're going to be worth something.
And they're not
Not. Yeah. It was just the biggest scam ever.
See, if I ever went on a date and some woman brought me back to her apartment and there were Beanie Babies.
You're out?
I am out. Out of there, like
she's gonna kill you.
Exactly.
You wear your skin,
like any kind of stuff. Like I was really observant of that when I'd walk into somebody's house. I'm like,
well, let me ask.
Is there any creepy stuff in here?
Well, let me ask Anna from a female perspective. It doesn't matter because I've been married for 100 years too. Is the toy collectible a turnoff for girls for men?
That's a deal breaker, isn't it?
I mean, it depends how extreme it is.
Yeah, I gotcha.
If it was like bobbleheads and stuff, that might be more of an issue. But I mean, my boyfriend collects toys known as guns, and that's a little bit more respectable. So.
but what if you had a lot of Kiss memorabilia all over the house? Because that was a big thing when I was a kid.
Now you're getting Phil Almquist excited.
No, I may have some of those too. I have Kiss trading cards from 1979.
Yes. It's not a deal breaker. I'll just say it unopened. Might be a red flag. How
about that? Fair. Yeah. That's a fair point.
Unopened.
That's a fair point. That's a fair point.
Like, do you dress up in the makeup, too, when I'm not here?
I don't want to know.
On that note, 855-839-1210. We'll come back, get to a Monday edition, always my favorite edition of the Cut Sheet, because we had over 72 hours to compile lots and lots of audio. But first, a word from our friends at Natural Lawn of America, because when you're choosing a lawn care service, it makes sense to hire a company that provides better results and is safer for your family and your pets. That's why I chose Natural Lawn of America. From organic fertilizers to safer weed and insect controls, they make sure that your lawn thrives naturally season after season. But don't just take my word for it. Join the growing number of homeowners switching to Natural Lawn Safer Services and start enjoying a beautiful, eco-friendly lawn today that you can be proud of. Schedule Natural Lawn's full service program and get free seeding every year. That's right. If you want a greener, healthier lawn plus free seeding, call Natural Lawn today at 800-FREE-SEED. That's 800-FREE-SEED. Your lawn deserves the best. So why don't you call the best? Greener grass, fewer weeds, guaranteed.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
We've got some good stories, some revelations from this book that's being written by two of the politicos from inside the Beltway, including what Trump shockingly told Kamala Harris when she called to concede the 2024 election. I've got that story, as well as the fact that Kamala was shocked that the election didn't go the way she was hoping. So some interesting quotes that we'll get to. Shocking. And we'll weave them in as we continue. But right now, let's get to Greg Stocker's Monday edition of What's on the Cut Sheet.
What's on the Cut Sheet?
What's on the Cut Sheet on this Monday? Sponsored by Wawa. With Wawa's $2, $4, $6 menu, craft the order you want with options $2, $4, and $6. Pick one or try them all. Available now for a limited time. Got to have a Wawa. Anna, do you have Wawa's in Florida?
Oh, yeah. Wawa's my favorite restaurant. Fun fact.
Restaurant.
Oh, my God. Wow. Yeah, it used to be 7-Eleven, but then when I moved to Florida, I learned about Wawa, and I'm like, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen.
Is Wawa fine dining for you?
Oh, hell yeah. The only thing better than a Wawa is a Buc-ee's, but there's only like four of those
Buc-ee's
nationwide.
Buc-ee's are good, though. Buc-ee's
those are fun. Yeah. But yeah, I love Wawa. Big fan.
Thank you, Wawa, for sponsoring the ever-important Monday edition of What's on the Cut Sheet. By the way, get on over to YouTube right now, youtube.com/at1210WPHD. Not sure if we're still having those intermittent dropouts. I hope not. Our engineer team is hard at work on it. It's not happening on YouTube. So go over to YouTube, youtube.com/at1210WPHD. As far as I know, it's not happening on the Odyssey app either, AUDACY. Download that if you want a clean feed. All right, let's go to the protests over the weekend, shall we?
Hands off, sir.
Hands off! What Nick's dates used to tell him in the 90s.
I used to have to tell the ladies, hands off the merchandise.
All right, so this is, let's start in Seattle. Right.
Yeah, it's a good place to start.
What could possibly go wrong in Seattle?
Anna, you've got, family in Portland, Oregon?
Yeah, yeah. Wow. I actually stopped off in Seattle. But yeah, Portland is as advertised. So for those that are like, oh, it's just media hype, it's not. No. It's real.
By the way, Tony Bruno in the YouTube chat. Hey, yeah. What's up, Tony? He's just coming in loud and clear down there in Florida.
Oh.
All right, roll Seattle. Nick, if you want to do a little, they're dressing up as handmaids.
Is that what they are?
There's some pretty creative signs, I will say this.
Look at the masks.
It's like college game day with the signs.
Vandalizing Tesla is my craft.
Yeah.
Hands off the Constitution. Deport Elon.
Yeah, this one was.
Trump in a dump, I guess?
Trump with his head up his.
With his head up his. That's pretty clever. Hashtag resist, felon, and the F Elon.
Yeah.
F Elon and then the felon. Well, yeah. I mean, it's okay.
You know, if all these people would have came out and voted for Kamala, the election might have gone differently.
Yeah. I think they did.
Look at this guy.
Deport muskrat.
It's like Coachella for ugly people.
It really is. Without the music.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's... Look at it. That guy has a mask on. I mean, it's... Yeah.
There's countless masks.
Yeah.
It's Doge like cosplay. It's like cosplay.
Yeah. The power of the people is stronger than...
Alexa, change the president.
Wow. Just wow.
Look at all these people.
Yeah.
Keep your... Can't even read that one. Keep education. Government needs smarter people. Yeah, yeah. The Department of Education failed, honey.
Right.
Yep.
Like these people, I mean, honest to God, the Department of Education was created in 1979, and the more money we pumped into it, mm-hmm. the lower the output was of educational achievement
the
for kids.
The dumber we became.
Yes. Yep.
By the way, this is all of this is uncensored too. By the way, on YouTube, so youtube.com/1210WPHE. Hit the like and subscribe buttons while you're there. All right, let's go to DC. Let's check in on DC, shall we? Cut 19 here. They do some dance moves. You want to see some?
Oh, yeah.
Some sweet dance moves.
Yeah.
Roll this. Here we go.
Hey,
look at that. They have
a sailor.
Look at this.
Wow.
There's a lot of giant asses. Yeah.
But not good ones.
Nice. I like big butts.
Yeah. Wow. Imagine wasting your weekend on this. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Weekends are so precious to me. And imagine wasting your weekends doing stuff like this.
Where do all these frumpy white women come from?
Portland.
In their living room. Yeah. I only come out like 9 times a year.
Yeah.
I got to say this, and like what you know in life, you got to know your strengths and weaknesses. One of my weaknesses is my inability to dance. I cannot dance. My wife knows not to ask. I don't like
it. I'm like Ellen DeGeneres.
I feel very uncomfortable. I got to say, not my style to knock my own race, but white people are dancing at these protests.
Yeah, I know.
Something cringe about people in their 50s that are white liberals trying to dance.
At least they're getting some exercise. I remember during the Women's March, it was like the first day that Trump was in office back in 2017. And someone wrote this comment where it said, Trump got more women moving and exercising in one day than Michelle Obama did in 8 years. And that made me laugh so hard.
That's a good one.
Yeah, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So at least they're moving, they're exercising. That's a win.
All right, let's go to Lancaster, Pennsylvania, shall we? Yeah. Love me some Lancaster.
Lancaster.
Sorry. I mean, doesn't look like it. I mean,
that's low energy
for Lancaster. It's a big.
Is it?
I guess so.
It's interesting. Go.
It's interesting to me. It's interesting to me the age demo of the protesters, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It seems to me, Harry, and maybe I'm wrong. It seems to me that it's the boomers who are looking to like do you know pretend it's the Vietnam War again,
right?
Is that
no? I'm with you. It's almost like they're rediscovering their hippie childhood or something.
Yeah. I thought as you got older, you got more conservative. I guess not, right?
To me, it looks like either older Gen X.
Yep.
Yeah.
So those in their late 50s up to about 60 or so, and then for sure the boomer generation.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I know some people that went to the Conshohocken.
Oh, do you?
Protest. There was a mini protest in Conshohocken. On Fayette Street.
Were they paid?
No, they were not paid.
Well, that's,
but they were women in their 50s.
Well, that's the other thing. These all seem to be very well organized. So
there's a report out. I think our buddy Road Warrior sent it. Although it's about 2 weeks old. It was like the third week of March. The New York Post wrote about it and the different groups and the funding. And there's countless groups. I can't even remember some of the names of these organizations that kind of put these things together. But not everybody is paid to be there.
No.
There are some people that are just genuinely...
Oh, no. You know.
And what is it? Like, did you just get an email, like, alerting? Because I didn't even know this was happening
it's
until after
Facebook,
the fact.
Harry. It's
on Facebook,
Harry.
I'm not on Facebook.
15 years ago, but people, especially the boomer women, are on Facebook.
Is that
all
where they're all at?
Yes, that's where they live.
So if I want to reconnect with the boomer women, that's where I
find out what they're up to. Yep. Yeah, they're on Facebook all day, every day.
Look what I'm missing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's... D.C. This is, I believe, this is a woman from D.C. or maybe Texas. I'm not sure. This is cut 21. She gets up and she speaks. Roll this.
My name is Grace Martinez.
All right, pause it. The fact that she was able to get up is an accomplishment in its own right. All right, now we can continue. I had to get that out. All right,
I am undocumented. She's unafraid, queer, and unashamed.
And hungry.
Undocumented, unafraid, queer, and unashamed.
Wow. Well,
that's a lot.
That's a resume.
That's four corners of the bingo card. Undocumented, unafraid, queer, and what else?
Well fed.
Unemployed.
Could afford to shed
some
pounds.
She missed unemployed.
Yeah. Poor lady.
She's my favorite, though, I have to say. Of all the cut sheet clips I watched last night, I was like, ooh, I like this one.
That is Grace Martinez Rosas, United We Dream Executive Director.
We are going to get to one, Anna, that I'm not sure if it's a male or female, but we'll get to that in 1 second. All right, let's keep rolling this one.
I lead the organization, the most beautiful organization called United We Dream Action. We are the nation's largest network of immigrant young people fighting for queer rights, immigrant rights, and the rights of everyday working class people. So y'all look so beautiful. I wish you could be in this place, and there's so many of you. I want you to take a moment and say high five to your neighbor. Y'all have been here for a while. Say, hey, what's up, neighbor? We're doing this. We got this. Yes.
I mean, she admitted she's undocumented, right? So mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Where's
Tom Homan is on line one.
Right. Homan's got a, as Anna would say, Homan's got a boner right now.
Yeah.
You know, you talk about immigration rights. What rights do you expect to have if you're here undocumented?
Yeah.
And then with the queer rights, what exactly have you has been stripped away from
you? Right. That's what I'm wondering. What rights have been violated?
Right. Like, if there's a female out there that is bent out of shape over Roe v. Wade, okay. I got you on that.
Yeah.
But you're talking, you say queer rights. What is a queer person not allowed to do in America that the rest of us can do?
They can't answer that question.
Name me
every
one
time
thing.
They're asked.
Name me one thing that you're not allowed to do. Right?
Exist.
Queer, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, LGBTQIA+, and all the other symbols that go on to that never-ending stretch of letters from the alphabet. You're able to do everything the rest of us are. Like all, and you know what's the most wild part about this is why I know I'm on the right side of this. As far as just stop obsessively telling me about your identity, is the lesbian community and the gay community are annoyed by the trans community with their obnoxious, self-righteous, narcissistic desire to jam their agenda down your throat.
They hijacked the whole movement.
Right.
They did.
Yeah.
Because,
and they're not happy about it.
Right. I mean, you think about what the, you know, lesbians and gay people had to, you know, overcome over the course of, you know, half a century. And then now they're like, just like anybody else, nobody cares. And even they're annoyed by the transgender community of pronouns. And it's like, what are you trying to accomplish?
It's
like,
actually more hip to be gay than straight.
You're 100% correct.
Isn't it?
Yes.
Yes.
You're 100% correct. There's no oppression
anymore.
Like the gay kids are the most popular kids in school.
Yeah.
It's true. Or if you're questioning your identity, you know, you have more friends than if you're not.
Yep.
Yeah, there are so many like vanilla gay and lesbian people who don't want to co-sign with the rest of this other alphabet soup garbage.
Yep.
So while this woman was speaking, they then broke out into song. We always love it when they break out into song.
Almost as good as the dancing.
Cut 22, Phil. I'm just going to kind of go in order here. Cut 22, Phil, if you will. Go.
We are standing on hollow ground. And those ancestors have left us visions and stories and songs. And so I want to end with one of my favorite. It's by June Jordan. Are you ready to sing with me?
Jim Jordan?
And while you sing with me, as much as we're asking people to have hands off of the things that we love, we're putting our hands up because we're ready to fight.
No, and please, put your hands down.
We're ready to put our hands to work.
Hands up, don't
we're
shoot. That was another That was another lie.
Are you ready to put your hands in to defend our democracy?
Look at the tricep.
She's going to fly away.
Sing after me.
Here we go.
We have come too far.
We don't need no education.
We won't turn around.
We won't turn around.
We'll flood the streets with justice. We are freedom bound.
We are freedom bound.
And now we're going to sing it one more time.
One more time.
Put your hands and your heart.
Over your heart.
And remember right. This moment when you feel scared. When you're doom scrolling, like sometimes I do, when you're afraid,
when you think
that you don't know how you're going to pay the bill the next month.
She sounds mentally ill to me.
A present for one another. Are you ready? We have come too far.
We have come too far.
We won't turn around.
We won't turn around.
I mean, just listen to how obedient really the audience is.
Mm-hmm. It's
they're actually singing along with this woman.
Who's the cult now, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's really replaced religion in a lot of ways, the woke church.
Yeah.
So.
The woke church.
It is.
I love
that. I mean,
that.
Like, they've lost.
It sounds like a band, Stalker.
We are woke church.
It's like
it's like the Church of No Man.
Yeah.
By the way, have any of you ever doom scrolled?
What does that mean?
I mean, it means just sitting there scrolling endlessly.
Watching the news.
Yeah.
I think it's basically looking for something to be triggered by.
Okay.
Yeah. Right.
No, like, I do not do that.
I surround myself in life with what I want to be surrounded by, whether it's, you know, occasionally my kids, the wife, golf, golf course, doing my radio show, going to a gym.
Gambling on sports.
Yeah. These people don't have an identity. Their gender is not only their identity, but it's their obsession. And I really do think it's this thing of I'm just trying to find something to be triggered by where I can start bitching about the injustices of society, whether they're legitimate or illegitimate.
This perceived injustice.
Yes, they think that, and I'm getting kind of like philosophical, but I think they really believe that there's like this utopian society where everybody gets along and loves each other, and they believe one day there'll be no war in the Middle East, and Eagles fans and Cowboys fans will get together and have a kumbaya moment. No, there's always going to be the wrongs of life, and we're all aware of it. You know, like Tony Bruno always says, "I can be awake but not be woke." These people are always just seeking out something wrong.
Right. And it's us.
And it's us.
Yeah.
And I might not, you might not have, know nothing about me. I don't care what you're into. You do you.
Right.
Right?
You can protest. I'm cool with it.
Right? Like,
I just wish you knew what you were protesting.
Right. Well, we're going to get to that because these people do not know what they're protesting. So let's go to the audience, shall we? Let's go to the crowd. This person, this protester is upset because he can't pee in 4% of America.
Oh, jeez.
Or she can't. I don't know what gender this person is.
Mm.
Roll this.
I can't pee in 4% of America right now. So
you can't pee in 4% of America.
In 4% of America, it is illegal.
Nick, for those people, start it over again.
What?
Phil, but for those people that can't join us on the YouTubes, can you describe this?
Individual. This individual is wearing a snow cap that looks like a combination of a couple of Blizzard flavors at a Dairy Queen, a set of eyeglasses that look like a pack of Starburst, and is that a halter top with like the insides of your
skeletal?
The skeletal of your rib cage?
It looks
in
like
your spine.
Yeah,
Anna. He's wearing a halter top.
Can we pull it up again?
Anna, is that a look that you pull off in St. Pete, Clearwater? Or is that
only during Gasparilla?
Right. Yes. Yeah, there you go. Nice. Up top. You know, sort of.
These Floridians over here.
I'm not quite sure if that's a halter top. It's hard to see over the little sports Letterman jacket deal. But I believe that's chin hair and breasts, which is a cool flex.
Yeah. Is that a woman private parts hat on?
It's the pea hat, but instead of the traditional pink color, it's the trans baby blue and baby pink.
Oh, is
which
that?
I think that's what that
is.
It's like a gender reveal party on your head.
I'm learning a lot here.
Yeah, that's what that is.
All right, roll this.
4% of America right now.
Mm-hmm.
So
you can't pee in 4% of America.
In 4% of America, it is illegal for me to use the men's restroom in government buildings.
Oh, so this is a biological
because of
female.
The biology bill that they just passed.
Yes, because I am biologically female, I cannot use the men's restroom in Florida or Utah.
What would you say to people who would say, well, just use the family restroom or gender-neutral restroom if it's available? Like, what would your thoughts on that be?
What am I supposed to do if there isn't a gender-neutral restroom available? Am I supposed to just hold it?
Yeah.
Or am I supposed to just wet my pants?
Shave your goatee.
Literally, there's no point to it other than to keep trans people out of the spaces they belong in.
That's correct.
Because, you know, they use the excuse of, like, oh, how are you going to know if it's someone claiming to be a woman just to get into the women's restroom? And it's like, those people are going to be doing things in the restroom that are going to set off red flags. You don't need an additional law on top of that to keep trans women out.
Crow Talking says, pee in your hat.
I saw that. It's hilarious. Or you could be like the Milwaukee Brewers fan. Did you see this?
No.
I put it up on my X account.
Okay.
Is in the concourse at the stadium, the baseball stadium, just peeing. Like, right out in the open.
Well, that's what the guy at the Boston bar did 2 weeks ago. He was paying his tab, and he was standing up at the bar, flipping through the menu, and he just dropped and was taking a you-know-what right
there. Is this a thing?
I have no idea. And this guy, this was, I think, just a drunk, straight dude. But, yeah.
Well, the Brewers fan was hammered, too. My God.
So, let's figure this out here. So, if you have a house, right, and you have three bathrooms, you can only take a dump in one of them at a time,
okay,
right?
Okay, we don't have to.
So, this guy, this girl, we'll call her William, is upset that he can't go to the bathroom in 4% of America. He can't use government restrooms. So, I would ask you, when are you ever in a government facility?
Right,
okay?
Right.
And it's, it's meant to keep trans... Yes, that's precisely what it's for. It's meant to keep guys out of women's bathrooms. Like, there's no dancing around it. People have said, if you're born a male, the government doesn't want you in female bathrooms.
By the way, this is a female, like a biological female.
No.
If she came in and used a men's restroom, like, no dude is scared of that. It's the other way around.
Right.
Right.
It's like,
right.
This person, if they tried to use a men's bathroom, no guy would care. No guy would care.
But that's a biological male pretending to be a girl.
No. That's a biological female pretending to be a girl.
I
believe
it's the opposite, too. But testosterone's a hell of a drug.
Yeah.
That's the chin hair.
That's a chick. Yeah. That's a chick.
Wow.
So if she wants to pop a squat in some dude's bathroom.
Yeah.
Like, nobody is. It's just the other way around.
Correct.
That's what they don't understand.
Yes.
Nobody cares if she goes into a men's bathroom.
Yes, because there are major physical differences that could result in a man taking advantage of a biological female, unless that female is on a Hummel, to which she's a jiu-jitsu expert.
Oh, yeah.
And she'll toss you into the hand dryer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All right, let's do this woman or this man. I'm not actually sure what this person is.
Let's find out.
This is in Boston. like, this clip made the rounds, and I don't... They all...
Oh, this is a dude, by the way, for sure.
Is it? Yeah.
Yeah.
YouTube.com/at1210WPHD to see these videos along. If you can't get there, Nick will describe this. all right, roll this.
Hey, friends.
I
just passed the Dunkin' Donuts, which is the most vague possible location I could possibly give you in Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. Besides being near a Dunkin' Donuts, which places me somewhere in Massachusetts, I'm at the Hands Off Boston March, and it is the slowest march I have ever been in, and I could not be more happy about that, because that means that the streets between the park and City Hall are entirely filled with people who are here. Because they're very angry about what's going on, about Trump and fascism trying to take this wonderful country with all these wonderful people, and there are great chants going on. Immigrants welcome here. Trans people are welcome here. Trans kids are welcome here. This is Massachusetts, kid. Get your hands off of it.
Ooh.
All right. I'll say hi some more later if I can manage to post this. Bye.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
You see the little rage there, that little anger that popped out?
Yeah. Is that Keith Olbermann in drag?
Yeah, it's a shame that he wants to be a woman because that is a beautiful jawline. Wow. Like, he's got such a robust, masculine jaw, and he just puts a wig on it. It's not good.
Yeah, Anna, what do you think about the dirty blonde natural hair fading into the pink?
It's not for me. No? You know, nothing wrong with it. It's just not my taste. But.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, the crazy thing, too, is she's talking about marginalized communities. 46% of the Latino community voted for Trump. Even the Hispanic community is like, some of y'all are crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yep. Like, I mean, really, really, really crazy. And again, the fighting for the right, like, do we really need to explain that if you are an illegal immigrant, you broke the law?
Right. I'm all for legal immigration.
But yes, that's how this country was founded, right? Ask anybody that's Italian or Irish or anything like that. Ask anybody that's... We've had our buddy, speaking of Pottstown and the crime.
Yeah.
It's been a while since we... Is it Tony in Pottstown?
Tony in Pottstown.
Yeah, Tony.
El Bucano on the YouTube chat.
Yeah. Yes, he's given us the great speech many times about coming here.
All right. Well, you guys mentioned the protesters being unable to explain why they're there.
Yeah.
Let's go to D.C., shall we?
This is my favorite clip.
This protester in D.C. is unable to explain why President Trump is a fascist, even though they have a sign that says the fascist Trump regime must go.
Is that Daniel Valdez? No, it's not him.
But notice the woman standing next to him in a mask.
It says hands off. Trust me, honey. Nobody's gonna touch you.
What do you think the IQ level was at this at these rallies?
12.
You could toast some bread. Roll it.
So what makes Trump a fascist? What makes Trump a fascist?
Is this kid stoned?
Does things without all.
I hope so.
Yeah, talk louder. I don't want a mic on. Who said that?
I'm not really good into interviews.
Sorry?
He just does everything he wants and, you know, not following laws or, you know. He's a convicted felon, you know, that's all I know.
But your sign says he's a fascist, and I'm just curious what makes him a fascist.
That he's trying to control the media, right?
Say that again?
He's trying to control the narrative. Like,
how is he trying to control the media? Doesn't every president try to control the narrative?
They try to control their own narrative, but one of the things that Trump has done, for example, is the renaming the Gulf of Mexico and then not allowing the Associated Press to come into the White House. Basically, you know, trying to get...
What are your feelings about him renaming the Gulf of Mexico as the Gulf of America when a majority of the Gulf is, in fact, on the coast of America as opposed to Mexico?
I mean, it's kind of pointless.
Is it pointless?
People call it the Gulf of Mexico.
Don't you think it could have a positive tourism impact, potentially?
Tourism has been down heavily.
So I don't want to get into a tourism debate. My question is, the sign says the fascist Trump regime must go.
Yeah.
And so I'm just curious what makes him a fascist. You pointed out that maybe something about his relationship with the media, he wants to control it, but how? Again, you're calling him a fascist.
Yeah, well, what makes him a fascist? One of the core tenets of fascism is creating an enemy, right? And blaming those problems on
what's
the
enemy.
What's
that? Oh, yeah, so, who gave you that?
The people that gave me the sign. It's a free sign.
Oh, someone gave you the sign, and then they gave you the handout.
And then the talking
points. Are you reading
points.
It now? Yeah. Try to answer the question. Can I see that? Can you hold that up? I'm just curious.
You can have it.
I can have it?
Yeah, you can have it.
Yeah, you can have it.
So this. So where did you get the sign?
All the way in the gatekeeper's house.
Okay.
Yeah,
the gatekeeper.
And that's another one?
The keymaster.
Yeah, where's the keymaster?
Can I have that one too?
Yes, you can have both.
Oh, okay. So what brings you guys out here today?
Because I saw
some people. I saw people walking out, so I was like, cool.
Everyone else, executive overreach.
Oh, that's amazing. What an amazing clip that is.
Can you imagine? I can't imagine spending my Saturday doing that.
Yeah.
Well, he can't either. He doesn't know what he's doing. No.
He just wants to hang out.
Yeah. That one guy's wasted.
Yeah.
He is burnt. Seriously. And the other guy couldn't find the Gulf of Mexico on Nick Cale's globe.
That's right.
Nice.
I could drop him out of a plane.
Right.
Nice throwback.
He'd land in it, and he wouldn't know he was there.
Wow.
Oh, it's not that big of a deal. Well, then why are you bothered by it?
Right, yeah, exactly.
Call it whatever you want.
I want to know who's handing out these signs.
I know.
Interesting.
Small little liberal women.
All right, 26 here. Again, when you go out to protest but have no idea why you're protesting.
Hey, real quick, are you guys surprised that we haven't seen any reports of any violence yet, with considering how massive these demonstrations were, supposedly coast to coast with all the cities? We haven't seen any buildings being destroyed.
No.
Not yet.
It's mostly peaceful.
Mostly peaceful.
Like I keep saying. Yeah.
Usually tongue in cheek.
All right, let's roll cut 26, go.
What are we protesting today?
Donald Trump.
Well, what's Donald Trump doing that we're protesting?
Well, he is up the American democracy right now and trying to kind of repeal a bunch of constitution, like, you know, rights and liberties. So
is there anything in specific that he's...
I don't have all the information, I do know.
What are you against?
Personally, I'm against tyrants. I'm against tyranny. That's what I'm against.
What is that?
Somebody who's coming in and trying to take over the country and get rid of the rules and regulations that have existed for centuries to keep us citizens safe.
And who do you think is doing that?
Currently, Donald Trump and Elon Musk and all of his cabinet members.
Why Elon Musk, though?
The Department of Government Efficiency, he was put in charge of a department that doesn't even exist before this, and he's not even an American.
Who's not an American?
Elon Musk.
Okay,
he's from South Africa. I don't know if you knew that.
How do you feel about Donald Trump?
I think that he deserves to die.
Wow.
You should what?
Die.
How about that?
Right. That's how I feel.
So who do you want to run Who do you want to run America?
The people, preferably.
You want the people to run America?
Like a democracy should be. Nice. Yes.
Do you feel like the people voted for him?
I think the people were fooled.
Fooled by who?
Him.
How?
I don't.
Dude, it's a false consciousness.
It's a what?
It's a false consciousness.
What do you mean by that?
Okay, so the...
Can I see your sign?
Can you see it?
No, I'm sitting right here.
To the camera.
No, to the camera, brother.
I'm talking to you.
But I'm
Is that Anthony DiRenzo?
You decided to talk...
I'm here as an individual.
Individual?
I'm here as an individual. Okay. I'm talking to you as an individual.
Okay, well, I want to see the sign.
Getting angry now.
If you have a sign...
Read the sign.
Okay, all right. What's the sign say? What does the sign say? Hold on, brother.
Move, cameraman.
You go out of your way.
All people are children of the earth.
Yeah, all people are children of the earth. Can you disagree with that? Can you disagree with
that? No, I can't disagree.
What do you got to say about that?
I can't disagree.
Me neither.
Yeah. I love that, brother.
Touche.
Yeah. All people are people of the earth.
By the way, nice diverse crowd, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes.
That's awesome.
That was a great job of that guy doing the reporting.
Yeah, I'm not sure who that is, but a hat tip to him.
Yeah.
That's terrific job. And you know false consciousness, you know what that means?
No. It's a buzzword.
Especially, it's like a Marxist theory.
Oh, really?
A way of thinking that prevents a person from perceiving the true nature of their social or economic situation.
Wow.
Harry Mays.
I was going to say, I had some false consciousness in 10th grade when I dropped some acid. And...
Oh,
God.
10th grade history class.
You were doing acid in 10th grade?
At school?
Maybe 11th.
In class?
Wow. Maybe. I waited till college.
That's why St. Pius the 10th is now closed. By the way, as we continue here, the 7 o'clock hour, which is 18 minutes expired, was brought to you by Bucks County Estate Traders. You can furnish your home and make a statement for spring with one trip to Bucks County Estate Traders. Browse over 16,000 pieces of all high-quality, famous brands, meticulously cared for and curated by their experts. Visit Bucks County Estate Traders.com or their showroom in Hatfield. You know, that guy there that looked like Anthony DiRenzo talking about democracy. You know what I love to do when they talk about threats to democracy and Trump's trying to strip democracy? You know what you hit him with is Kamala Harris was never, she never earned the right to be on the ticket. Mm-hmm. Say what you, and I'd love to bring this up because nobody has a rebuttal for it. Joe Biden, as bad as he was, had 14 million votes in the primary. And the American people were like, okay, this is, if I'm a Democrat, I'm going with Biden. They didn't even want to have a primary. Bobby Kennedy gets the boot, has to join Trump, and then Kamala gets installed.
Mm-hmm.
That's the direct definition of subverting democracy.
Right. Wasn't she the first one to drop out years ago?
In 2019.
When they had like 20 people on the on
that Tulsi
debate.
Gabbard took her down.
Gabbard body-bagged her. Yeah, with
the weed thing.
Yes.
Yeah, she was like putting people away for that. Yeah, and, like making jokes on The Breakfast Club about how she herself would like smoke weed and get high.
Yeah.
one more from the protest. This is... This person, I thought this was like a robot, but it's actually a person. This person is dressed up as the Statue of Liberty.
It's transhuman.
They have chains around them. They have a giant skirt with the American flag with a Nazi symbol, Nazis, Trump. You have to see this video. YouTube.com/at1210WPHT. I'm not sure what state or city this took place in. Roll this, Phil. There you go. You can see the F Trump. Trump is dressed up like a Nazi, and there's a Tesla with Elon Musk, and wow, look at this.
That looks like the mascot from the Liberty Tax Company.
Can you imagine being, can you imagine this person?
Look at the face.
Wow. I'm telling you, it's cosplay.
I mean, her makeup is pretty badass, I will say that.
Yeah, sure. She went to a lot of work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, when I saw that, my first thought was, America is awesome. Yeah. You want to know why? Because you want to go try that in Saudi Arabia.
Right.
You want to go try that in Iraq.
Yep.
You want to go try that in Venezuela. See what happens to you.
You're
so
right.
The fact that you can do that and talk about the leader like that.
Yep.
Right.
America's awesome, man.
It is.
Yeah. Russia,
it's amazing.
Russia.
Yeah.
Russia,
yeah.
No,
yeah. Good luck. You disappear.
Good luck. China.
Mm-hmm.
All these communists. Yeah.
But
all
rights
of these
are being violated.
Yes. All these true communist nations.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, too, it also illustrates, you talk about how cool America is, the fact that you could do that and still be able to walk home and go home at the end of the night. It also really goes to show you we have a major mental health crisis in this country.
Sure. But you're allowed to be crazy.
I'm all for getting rid of Big Pharma and Bobby Kennedy doing what he's doing. Let's just not do too much, though, because there are people that truly need the medication.
Yeah, but I don't think they're on it.
No, that's the problem.
Yeah, they went off it.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
Let's go to the Sunday shows here. This was the Ag Secretary, Brooke Rollins. She was on with Jake Tapper. Phil, I'm actually going to start with 15, if you don't mind. Talking about the whole tariff issue. Let's start with cut 15 here, Phil.
All right. I mean, they say that you use retail prices as opposed to import prices, and they make a compelling case. I'd ask you to check it out. The reason I ask you
is because I have not read.
Yeah. Well, I'd ask you to check it out. You should read it. The reason I ask is because a lot of people are questioning the level of scholarship here behind how these tariffs were done. For example, President Trump laid out with a giant graphic of all the countries where tariffs were going to be, what he called reciprocal tariffs were going to be imposed. And you're imposing a 10% tariff on the Heard and McDonald Islands. The Heard and McDonald Islands have zero human inhabitants. They have zero exports. They have zero imports. They do have a lot of penguins. Why are you putting import tariffs?
Pause it for a second. I don't know if you guys saw this over the last couple of weeks, but there are these memes that show that we're importing these tariffs on these islands that aren't inhabited by anybody, except penguins.
Okay,
so that's been the meme that like Trump is tariffing
the penguins.
The penguins.
Okay,
yeah.
So that's the background for this for any of you that don't speak left.
Okay, thank you.
Roll it.
That are entirely populated by penguins.
Well, I mean, that, come on, Jake. Obviously, here's the bottom line. We live under a tariff regime from other countries. We have
not
too long
the McDonald Islands is not imposing.
The idea that America goes first. I mean, come on. Whatever. Listen, the people that are leading this are serious, intentional, patriotic, the smartest people I've ever worked
with.
He's
really
serious. I did not come up with the formulas. I'm the ag secretary. I studied agriculture at Texas A&M. I was in a lot of conversations to make sure our farmers and our ranchers were part of that. The president recognized the importance of inputs. We got potash and fertilizer to make sure they could do their planting. But I have no doubt that I speak on behalf of President Trump when he would say he has the utmost confidence in the team and what they have built and what they have put together. And we are unleashing a new golden age, and we will see an economy that will benefit not just every corner of America, but our farmers and our ranchers and the people that have been left behind for far too long by both Republicans and Democrats.
So you
So I've never heard of the McDonald Islands, but I'm assuming you can get a Happy Meal or a Quarter Pounder. It's my guess. Maybe you can supersize it. I have no idea about that. But what I know is there's two things that stand out. If any country was hitting us with a 10% tariff, Trump matched them and gave a reciprocal 10% tariff. And then the bigger tariffs from the bigger nations like China, India, Vietnam, Taiwan, you look at those lists, and they're basically, if somebody's giving us 90% tariff, we hit them at 45%.
Right, half.
Half.
Yeah.
52%, 26%. That's what I know. But it's almost like when Jake mentioned in the beginning there, he's like Trump, and he's got this big board. Like, do you think Trump just sat down and randomly, you know, jotted down percentages? He goes, why don't we do half? Like, I mean, there's probably smart people that are economic advisors to the president that have decided, based on the amount of business we do with said country, this is the tariff we need to put in place. And I thought Sean Farish made a great point last week. Trump could have went higher, but if these countries don't buckle with you going higher, you don't have no wiggle room anymore, right? So you start.
It's all negotiation.
Right. Yes. It's a leverage play. It's a power play.
Right.
And as I mentioned in the big take, Taiwan, Vietnam, and India all are already willing to go to the negotiating table and figure out a solution to this. Right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why that bothers people so much.
I know.
But the penguins, man.
Yeah, for those that want to know where these islands are, I just looked it up. It's like midway between like Australia and Antarctica.
Does the Odyssey app work?
There's no people there, so nobody's paying any tariffs.
Right. So I don't know where they got that
from. He was
from.
Serious with that question.
He looked really concerned.
Yeah. Well, he has another serious question here. She says, you're on the left, and he corrects her and says, no, I'm not on the left, Missy.
Ooh.
Roll it.
Fed Chair Jerome Powell says that these tariffs could drive inflation back up and throttle growth. J.P. Morgan raised the likelihood of a recession by the end of this year from 40% to 60%. And take a listen to what Republican Senator Ted Cruz, a Trump ally from your home state of Texas, had to say.
If we're in a scenario 30 days from now, 60 days from now, 90 days from now, with massive American tariffs and massive tariffs on American goods in every other country on earth, that is a terrible outcome. It's terrible for America. It will hurt jobs and hurt America.
So how long do you anticipate this tariff chaos is going to be going on? 30 days, 60 days, 90 days?
Well, first of all, Jake, thank you for having me. I think it's really important to realize that last Wednesday was when the president announced this new American order, the new American economic plan. We're now 2 days in, right? You've got 2 days of data. Everyone, especially on your side, on the left, is freaking out.
I'm not on the left.
But at the end of the day, listen, this whole concept, all right, Jake, thank you. This whole concept is about rebuilding an American economy around American goods, around American industry. We do already live under a tariff regime in this country, but it's the tariff regime of China, of Mexico, of Brazil, of Australia, of countries that Mexico won't take our corn, Australia won't take our beef. The country of Honduras takes more pork than the entire European Union does, American pork, I should say. So from our farming and ranching perspective, which is what I'm focused on, but happy to talk about anything, that it is time for a change, and that's what this president evoked last Wednesday. So I think we'll see in short order really positive outcome from this. We already have 50 countries that have come to the table over the last few days, over the last weeks, that are willing and desperate to talk to us. We are the economic engine of the world, and it's finally time that someone, President Trump, stood up for America.
So she's echoing the same number that Howard Lutnick gave us about 2 hours ago on the show with 50 nations. Look, I mean, he can sit there and bring up Ted Cruz and Rand Paul. I don't like Ted Cruz. I do like Rand Paul. But I like the fact that both of those guys disagree with Trump on tariffs. I don't agree with everything Trump says or does. You know, I talked about 2 weeks ago, I would have fired Mike Waltz after that whole debacle with the Signal app. But I'm with Trump on this one because I've seen all these other nations utilizing tariffs, all of these other nations that are not dealing with inflation. And oh, by the way, we have a history here. Trump utilized them to a smaller degree 7 years ago and had success. So this immediate rush to just assume the worst case scenario is, to me, nothing more than fear porn. It could blow up in Trump's face. It absolutely could. And if it does, you know I'll criticize him.
Right. I don't know that it's going to work.
I have no idea. Right. Even he has said it could there could be short-term pain.
And they don't know that it's not going to work.
True.
Right?
Right. Yeah. They don't know. They just automatically have to give you the worst-case scenario because it came from Trump's mouth.
Right. And they would prefer that America crash and burn,
yeah,
just to make a point.
Oh, you know? Right. 1,000%.
It's so sad.
I mean, if inflation goes up to 7%, you think that changes Jake Tapper's life?
Probably not.
No.
Well, what to piggyback off of what Anna was just saying, Jim Cramer, who's been right about, let me look at my chart, nothing. he warned on Friday of a 1987 Black Monday style market crash on Monday, meaning today. So let's hear from Jim Cramer, and then today for those of you who don't. Remember in 1987, Black Monday, when the stock market absolutely crashed and we started a recession. Jim Cramer predicting that that's going to happen today. Roll this.
The president doesn't try to reach out and reward these countries and companies that play by the rules in the 1987 scenario, the one where we went down 3 days and then down 22% on Monday, has the most cogency. We will not have to wait out too long, will we? We'll know by Monday. Fortunately, we had an excellent set of employment numbers today. At least it makes it less likely a crash will necessarily lead to a recession. But if President Trump stays intransigent and does nothing to ameliorate the damage that I saw these last 2 days, I'm not going to be constructive here. I will contain my anger, but only because I lived through 87, and in the end, I came out okay. I was in cash for the crash. I know what this feels like. Oh, and if Europe moves against our fabulous tech companies next week, then I will be furious. That I promise you, because it should not happen.
I mean, this guy, are you surprised that this guy remains employed? You can be this wrong every single time on everything you say.
He's like a weatherman.
He's like a weatherman.
But by the way, I'm so glad there was like subtext there because I only got like 40% of what he was saying. So I had to like read along because I did not understand what he was saying.
He speaks Delco. He's from this area.
Oh, okay. I didn't get it.
Yeah, he grew up about 20 minutes from here.
Okay. He's an Eagles fan.
Yeah, I sat next to him at an Eagles Giants game a couple years ago.
That's right. Yeah, you said that.
He was very nice. He's a very nice guy. But that doesn't negate the fact that he's literally been wrong about everything he said.
Yeah, I would love to have that kind of job security. Just saying.
Yeah. What does Elon Musk say? This is cut 16 here. What's his thoughts on the tariffs? Because you know he's a businessman. Tesla, SpaceX.
Mm-hmm.
What are his thoughts? Roll it.
I hope that the United States and Europe can establish a very close.
You can take the screen off.
Partnership. we obviously are. There's an alliance already, but I'm hopeful that there can be a very close relationship with America and Europe. I'm hopeful, for example, with the tariffs that at the end of the day, I hope it is agreed that both Europe and the United States should move, ideally, in my view, to a zero tariff situation, effectively creating a free trade zone between Europe and North America. That would be my, that's what I hope occurs. More freedom of people to move between Europe and North America, if they wish. If they wish to work in Europe or wish to work in America, they should be allowed to do so, in my view. That has certainly been my advice to the president.
There you go.
Wow.
There's Elon broadcasting from a dark cloud.
He really is dark, MAGA. The whole really screen is. Went dark when he was on.
Yeah. I saw just about 4 minutes ago that the Fed is meeting today at 11:30. So that might be something to keep an eye on. Maybe rates being reduced. Here's my thing, too. If you saw some of the numbers over the weekend, did you see all the... Because the narrative is that Trump's doing all of this for his billionaire buddies, right? Mm-hmm. Did you see that every billionaire, the top 15 to 25 wealthiest people on the planet, all have taken massive hits to their net worth over the last couple of days? Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos.
Bill Ackman.
Ackman. There's only one guy on that list that has not lost money. And I think it was, might have been, not Buffett, somebody else. It was like 14 of the 15 have lost money. And I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, that narrative just got squashed right? Like, yeah. I mean, I get it. Their net worth will rebound, and they're not worried about it. Mm-hmm. Like, Elon Musk lost, like, over $100 billion of his net worth in the last 2 or 3 months, and he's going to get it back. By the way, too, polling-wise, have you seen how negative Elon Musk is polling?
Oh, my God, yeah.
The argument now is if you're a Republican running for office, do not affiliate yourself with Elon Musk, because it will backfire.
Let's go to that.
We have that?
Cut seven, Phil, if you want. This is Nick's friend, Harry Enten.
Love this guy.
Basically saying exactly what Nick just said. Roll this.
If you are a Republican candidate running in a swing state, you don't want Elon Musk anywhere near you. Yes, maybe you like the money, but you do not want his presence in your state. Why is that? Elon Musk, simply put, is an unpopular guy. He is political poison. Look in Wisconsin, his net favorable rating, minus 12 points, 12 points underwater. That is an even worse number when you look nationally. Look at that. It's minus 17 points. So if there's one big lesson to take away from Wisconsin, is Elon Musk does not help Republicans when he shows up. If anything, the data suggests that he hurts them. Republicans, stay clear of Elon Musk if you want to win in a swing state, at least in terms of his physical appearance in your state.
Wow.
Makes you wonder how important he was or was not to Donald Trump's election victory in November. I tend to think he was a positive, but after all of the Doge stuff, which is really fascinating. You think about this. The left loved this guy, right?
Yeah.
Tesla, SpaceX, climate control, the whole bit. Climate, like, this guy was their buddy. And then he joins Donald Trump. That spoils the milk for the left. And then he says, I'm going to find all of your tax dollars that are being wasted.
Right.
And once I do, you're not going to be mad at those that are taking your tax dollars and spending them on transgender mice procedures in third world countries. You're mad at me because I told you the secret.
Right. I don't get it.
Yeah, you're not mad at the robber, but the person who told you you're being robbed.
Yeah, right.
It's really bizarre.
I'm not disputing his numbers, but I'm just, like, curious as to why. I think he's great.
Well, I don't know. He's been polling really, really low.
Polling low among who, exactly?
Right,
are they just
polling the people
that already hate him? Or?
Yeah. But you think about this, though. This is the equivalent of, let's say you're married, and you can't, and you're a wealthy guy. And I'll sound like a sexist here, Anna, but you can punch me in the face. Mm-hmm. Let's say all of a sudden you're like, where's all my money going? And then you have an accountant look at the numbers, and your accountant says, did you make these transactions? And you're like, no.
All these tchotchke items your wife is buying? Is that what it is?
Well, then who bought them? Well, only my wife has a debit card and a credit card that I have. And then you get mad at the accountant.
Right.
Yeah.
Not your wife.
Because he exposed your wife.
Yes.
Yes.
That is what the left is angry about. They're mad that Elon told them what's going on, not what's actually occurring. Damnedest thing ever.
Yep.
Cut 17 here, Phil, going back to that. Kevin Hassett, you said this, I think you played this in the Big Take, about countries now that have reached out to the president to begin negotiating. Roll it.
I got a report from the USTR last night that more than 50 countries have reached out to the president to begin a negotiation. But they're doing that because they understand that they bear a lot of the tariff. And so I don't think that you're going to see a big effect on the consumer in the U.S. because I do think that the reason why we have a persistent long-run trade deficit is these people have very inelastic supply. They've been dumping goods into the country in order to create jobs, say, in China.
I think the analogy late last week was America is the Walmart of the world, and we're always on the losing end of the deal. Last time I checked, Walmart does pretty well for themselves, yet America is not, based on our deficit of $36 trillion, right? Doge, Elon Musk, 130 days, he's going to be gone. Doge as an entity is supposed to expire on July 4th of 2026, and I think one of you made a great point earlier that if the tariffs blow up in Trump's face, it's going to be curtains for Republicans in midterms.
Yeah. It's true.
And for 2028, by the way. Trump is, look, he said he was going to do what he's doing at the border. He's closed the border off. The border is basically sealed and locked. He's delivered on all the things he said he was going to do with the Department of Education, with Doge, with gutting of this, downsizing federal government. And the last domino to drop in what is still not even the first 100 days, talk about moving at warp speed, is the economy. If he nails the economy and he's right with the gamble on tariffs, Republicans will do well in the midterms.
You would think.
You would think.
Yeah.
Unless, of course, you know, like we saw in Lancaster and we saw in Wisconsin, where Democrats were activated and motivated and Republicans have their thumb up their ass.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, short of that, I can't see how Republicans don't have at least a good showing.
And that's why the Democrats are praying for this to fail.
Of course.
Of course. Yeah.
That's their entry back into the ballgame.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They don't have a candidate. They don't have a message. They don't have policy. But they can say that Trump blew the economy.
Right.
Dr. Oz was on with Hannity on Friday. Remember Dr. Oz?
Oh my!
Yeah.
Where did they find this guy?
Is he still living in? Is he still living in Lower Moreland?
I think so.
I don't think.
Does he still have?
I don't think he ever was. Harry.
Does he still have a home in Connecticut? Where
I know
he
where he plays living? Golf.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
So the whole thing with him when he was running for Senate here in 2022 was that he was like he's a New Jersey resident, I believe, but like his family. His wife's family grew up or lives here in the Happer-Horsham area, like out there. And the word was that he had a house in Lower Moreland. Mm. I don't think that he does anymore. All right. So, but he's talking now about waste, fraud, and abuse in the Medicare and Medicaid system. Roll this.
But most importantly, Sean, these tactics by modernizing American medicine will allow us to deal with the waste, fraud, and abuse that you alluded to earlier.
Not,
and let me give you some numbers
that are going to
keep you
anymore.
Up tonight. First off, just a couple right off the... This is right out of the oven, these ideas. And it's remarkable how many of these problems have persisted for years. Last year, we had 230,000 Americans who were on the Affordable Care Act, the Obamacare plans, who didn't know it. They found out when the IRS agents called up and said, you know, you guys have this free program in your family. Did you know you have it? Brokers had given them these programs, made money off the U.S. government. They had no idea it happened. The state of California has taken tens of millions of dollars from the federal government providing free health insurance for illegal immigrants in California. We're going to get that money back. Were there programs like this that we're witnessing day in and day out where Medicaid patients are enrolled in multiple states? And the federal government doesn't know about it. So we pay every state for the same person, and we're not getting our money's worth, but those people aren't getting their health either.
So we've got people on the left that don't know where their tax dollars are going for stupid things, and then they're also unaware that they are eligible for a program that many of us are not fans of, which is just goes to show you how aloof and uneducated some people can really be. But even as far as the waste, fraud, and abuse, we had the story late on the show last week where Doge discovered there was about $4.3 billion in COVID funds that are still out there that have been found, are being returned, and should come back to us in the form of tax breaks.
Oh, really?
Which is, I think a lot of us are waiting to see what that will be on a per household, per income basis. By the way... Mehmet Oz, Doug Mastriano, worst combination in the history of midterms for one party.
Pretty bad.
That was really bad.
It resulted in John Fetterman and more of Shapiro.
Who I like now.
Well, he says some things that are relatively common sense, which doesn't fly well with his party.
What do you think about the his dress code?
I suppose I'm wearing it right here.
Right, but you're not at Capitol Hill.
I'm at Odyssey Corporate Headquarters.
Right,
there's time and place.
Yeah,
but by and large, I like the hoodie.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not anti-hoodie, except when you're on the Senate floor.
Yeah, I don't
you
got to
be in a suit
look.
On those days.
I saw him at the inauguration. It wasn't a good look.
Musk doesn't wear a suit and tie either,
but he did for Trump's address.
Okay, one time.
Right.
Okay.
But to your point, he dresses like a schlub too.
Yes.
Yes. Elon Musk looks like a guy that works at a radio station that gets free T-shirts.
Yeah.
He does.
That is true.
Yes.
You played Dr. Anthony Fauci earlier. I just want to remind people remember the whole thing during COVID with the herd immunity? He's changed his tune many times on herd immunity.
He's shifting the goalposts again?
This is cut eight. Yeah, I just want people to remember about how sometimes herd immunity is good, sometimes it's not good.
Mm-hmm.
Roll this.
I think 70 to 85% for herd immunity for COVID-19 is a reasonable estimate.
Wow.
And in fact, most of my epidemiology colleagues agree with
Amazing.
Me.
Well, it's been absolutely proven that herd immunity is not applicable to COVID.
Oh.
Why? I got infected three times already. Where does herd immunity come in?
Yeah.
There you go.
You got infected three times and you have seven boosters.
I was just going to say, so much for that.
Worthless shot. 100% safe and effective. The virus stops with you. If you're vaccinated, you won't get it. You won't spread it to grandma and you won't kill grandma.
Right.
You'll be able to gather at the holidays. This guy. By the way, and the revelation obviously was, you know what's a good level of immunity? natural infection.
Yep.
Yeah.
And what's natural infection means nothing to big pharma because it, it means they can't make a profit off
right.
of it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Dr. Jay Bhattacharya was on a podcast over the weekend talking about gain of function. And I want – he says something very important here. Because everybody is like, we should not be doing gain of function. We should not be doing gain of function, which I agree with. But the problem is that there's many types of gain of function, some of which are very, very, very positive. And he explains in, I think, the best way possible here. Roll this.
Should gain of function research be banned?
Okay, so you have to be careful here. There's some gain of function research which is entirely benign, has no chance of causing a pandemic, and might have would advance is vital tool for advancing human health, right? So, for instance, you have some protein you want expressed so that you can use it as a treatment. Like insulin is a good example of this. You change the DNA of an E. coli, use the E. coli bacteria to produce the insulin cheaply. That's gain of function work. There's nothing wrong with that. But there is gain of function work that has the potential to cause a pandemic. You take a virus you find in a bat cave in China, coronavirus, you add a biochemical element. This is not theoretical. You add an element to it that makes it more transmissible among human cells. And then you do that in a setting where it might infect the lab technician who takes it home without knowing it, infects their family, and causes a pandemic that causes so much damage. That kind of research, a research that has any capacity of causing a pandemic through gain-of-function work should be banned. I think it has no place in among the toolkit of scientists. It's essentially what you have is you have a few scientists taking risks on behalf of the entire human population. And to do it in an unregulated way makes absolutely no sense to me. Even if you don't agree that that is what led to this past pandemic, I happen to think it does. Mm-hmm. But even if you don't agree, going forward, why would you say, yes, you should take that risk? There aren't enough benefits to that kind of research to warrant causing a pandemic that can kill 10 million, 20 million people, if you include like the lockdown harms, and cause trillions of dollars of damage and set society back for so long. What knowledge gain would be worth that?
And thoughts like that 4 years ago got Dr. Jay Bhattacharya of Stanford deplatformed from social media.
He sounds like he knows what he's talking about.
Of course
about.
He does. Yeah.
He's but great. That's what he said at the beginning there is that you have to be careful when you're talking about gain of function research. Because right. a lot of gain of function is very positive for the scientific community. It's just things like, hey, let's experiment to see if we can make the world's deadliest pandemic.
Yeah.
Maybe that shouldn't
when
be done.
Yeah, when you're working with stuff that's contagious.
Yes, yes.
That's problematic.
The same people that are telling you how reckless Trump is with tariffs are the ones that are oblivious to how reckless gain-of-function research in a COVID setting can be.
Yeah.
We talked a lot on Friday about the Austin Metcalf. He's the twin brother in, I believe, Texas, believe this was, who was stabbed by Carmelo Anthony, not that Carmelo Anthony. We don't have to say alleged because the kid admitted to doing it. What's being questioned.
By the way, those are his words too.
Exactly.
Carmelo Anthony said, "You don't need to say alleged. Yep. I did it."
Yes.
Wow.
But what's in question is, was it self-defense or not? And I don't know if you guys saw this over the weekend, but there is $100,000 that was raised already for a GoFundMe page for this kid. It's so sick. Uh-huh. It is so sick. No matter what the incident was, like high school kids fight, like that happens. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They don't all pull out knives and stab somebody in the heart.
No. Well, these are the same people that probably funded BLM.
And I don't understand. Like, I'm guessing Austin Metcalf's father is a Christian man, I guess. I don't know. But he keeps coming on TV and defending the killer.
Yeah.
Like, feeling bad for the killer.
Yeah. Even Michelle Wu from Boston is perplexed by this.
Oh, really?
Roll this.
And the fact that, you know, someone was immediately taken into custody, they know who did this, they are charging him with murder. I mean, how does that make you feel that police immediately
first
got this
all,
person?
First of all, I feel sorry for that individual because he's now made a mistake that's going to cost him the rest of his life. The hard part that cost me is I lost my son, and his brother was holding him trying to hold the blood in, and he passed my son.
I can't.
What kind of father would say that?
I know.
He is, I just.
So your son was killed in cold
he
blood?
He must just be an incredibly faith-based, forgiveness, Christian man. Because his wife, yeah, I think we played the clip of her on Friday. She is not forgiving you.
Mm-hmm. No,
is that very
right?
Angry.
Yeah, she says,
and rightfully so.
She's like, I don't care what he says. I'm not, no, I don't feel the same way.
I'm assuming they're not married anymore?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Look. I mean, if you have the power to forgive somebody, but like this kid was from all the things I've seen, this kid was not a victim. It's a fight. I get it. Yeah. No matter how it started, kids in high school, kids in college fight. Guys fight.
The story's been out here long enough. I'm surprised there's no video footage of this. Aren't you? In a day and age where everybody's always filming something when there's a confrontation in society.
Or there's cameras everywhere.
Or there's
anyway.
Security cameras, right? Like no security camera at the high school venue. And nobody in a crowd of presumably a couple of hundred of people, nobody pulled out a phone and recorded.
Right.
So, it's odd.
So
I agree.
He was sitting under one of those like tents, and if you've like for this track meet, and I guess the families of the runners set up tents, and then they, you know, if it rains or whatever like that, so they can watch their child or whoever. And this kid was sitting in a tent that wasn't his. So from what I understand, this Austin Metcalf was like, dude, you got to move. This isn't you. There was an altercation. They may have like exchanged words and exchanged. I don't know if like there's pushing involved. And this kid, first of all, why do you have a knife?
At a track meet.
At a track meet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This whole thing and the fact that he's raised $100,000 on GoFundMe. We are a sick society.
People are saying, like, this is what happens when you bully people. Like, you get stabbed. You got to be careful. Yeah. Don't bully people. It's... wild.
Wow. Well, I mean, time and place and venue and setting. What led to the point where he felt he had to stab somebody over this?
Agreed.
Right?
Agreed. Yeah.
Like, you say self-defense. Okay, self-defense, I got you. You punch back, whatever. If somebody has a deadly weapon and then you have one and return fire, I get that. But it doesn't seem like that was the case here.
The problem is, too, is that people are using this on both sides as a race thing. Yes. You know what I mean? And it's nothing to do with the race of these people. I believe that if the roles were reversed, this would get more attention in mainstream media.
Oh, it would be a race thing for sure.
It would be a race thing.
Yeah. Yes.
But the fact that like we're on the side of the kid who was stabbed, it's a horrific story.
Oh yeah. Well, the media and the left would love nothing more than for another George Floyd type situation.
Yeah.
Because all they want to do is protest. It's not about defeating Trump's policies or finding the next best candidate, the next alpha male type A to beat Republicans. It's about picking at Trump. So if that happens, they're going to go to the streets and we're going to have 2020 all over again.
But of all the things to donate to.
I know.
You know what I mean?
It's sick because there's this narrative going around on certain sectors of Twitter that has this kid painted as like this choir boy who was just defending himself against
wearing
the big bad
an honor student.
Yes,
wearing the suit
against the big
student.
Bad white guy, and like they're the ones making it a race issue. We're not.
It's right. Like OJ part two.
It has nothing. Yeah,
it is. OJ didn't. Well, he kind of admitted it, but after the fact,
it has nothing to do with this.
If I did, this is how I would have.
It has nothing to do with the race of him. All we're saying is that if the roles were reversed, this would be a bigger. Mm-hmm. News story.
Yep. No doubt.
All right. We've gone like 90 minutes without a break. We really have to break.
All right. Gale and Company, we'll continue. Stocker's got some more leftovers here on the cut sheet.
A ton more, by the way.
Yes, indeed. But first, a word from our friends at Bucks County Estate Traders, because they don't make furniture like they used to. If you're tired of cheap, mass-produced junk, let me tell you about our friends at Bucks County Estate Traders. Their massive Hatfield showroom has over 16,000 pieces of high-end furniture, brands like Stickley, Baker, and Henrodon, the kind of quality craftsmanship that stands the test of time. And you can save thousands compared to new retail prices. No matter your style, classic, modern, rustic, or traditional, you'll find stunning pieces that fit every home today. Whether you're furnishing your living or dining room, home office, or a man cave, Bucks County Estate Traders, they have it all. And unlike the big box stores, if you see something you love, you can take it home the same day. Every piece with a QR code, which displays details instantly, and their expert staff is the best in the business. No pushy salespeople, and they are straight shooters who know their stuff. Pro tip, check out their website and call ahead. They'll have the pieces you want ready to show you right away. Visit BucksCountyEstateTraders.com or stop by their showroom in Hatfield and tell them Nick Kale sent you.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.